Salt is good. Have salt in yourselves. It's frankly a little puzzling in our day and time. Jesus may have been sometimes known as the great physician, but I'm guessing you wouldn't have a physician in the world who would say the same thing to you today. The American Heart Association, for example, says, in some people, sodium increases blood pressure because it holds excess fluid in the body, placing an added burden on the heart. If your blood pressure is 120 over 80 or above, your doctor may recommend a low-salt diet or advise you to avoid salt altogether. I know some of us have heard that from our doctors. Apparently, having salt in yourself isn't an unambiguous good. But before we can even think about the salt part of this passage, we may need to address some of the other parts of the passage that are fairly troubling. The imagery is quite stark. And one of the things I want us to remember is that we need to remember that the Gospels are creative works. Stories about Jesus and collections of sayings of Jesus circulated by word of mouth for many years before they were ever written down. And the Gospel writers each used those oral traditions to put together their story of Jesus. Now, to say that the Gospels are creative works put together by the authors isn't a contradiction to the idea that God's Spirit was involved in part of that process. It really is both and. The biblical writers were creative, and we trust that God's Spirit somehow was involved in that creative process, and that God's Spirit still speaks through the words of the Scriptures today. So one of the things you need to know about this particular passage from the Gospel of Mark is that this is a collection of sayings of Jesus that Jesus may not have spoken all at the same time. Mark put them together in this place. They seem to have something he thinks to do with what it means to be a follower of Jesus in community. We need to be open, Mark thinks, in the words of Jesus, to the idea that God's work happens in all kinds of ways. We need to celebrate when demons are exorcised, when healing and wholeness takes place, no matter who's doing it. We need to care for all. We need to watch how it is we might be putting stumbling blocks in the ways of other people. But it's in that section that Jesus uses some pretty dramatic language. Cutting off hands, cutting off feet, plucking out eyes. Better that than hell. So here's one way to make sense of this troubling set of images, which is, after all, metaphoric language. Even the people who take the Bible most literally of all are not cutting off hands and plucking out eyes, which I think is a really, really good thing. Hell, in this passage, translates a Greek word, Gehenna, which refers to the Valley of Hinnom, which was a valley south of Jerusalem. The valley had been a site at one time of pagan sacrifices, and it later became Jerusalem's city garbage dump. And garbage dumps were places where fires burned almost continually, where there was an awful stench, where maggots lived. I'm not necessarily making the imagery any more pleasing, am I? And I think what Jesus is trying to get at here is that when we're living lives that are not loving and caring, we are perhaps in our lives creating garbage. And that garbage needs to be thrown away. Because if garbage accumulates in our lives, pretty soon what's left? With that warning in mind, Mark then moves to a different imagery for the Jesus-inspired life. Salt. Salt had a lot of positive connotations in the time of Jesus. The biblical book of Numbers refers to God's covenant with God's people as a covenant of salt. The phrase is repeated in 2 Chronicles, where God's covenant with David is also called a covenant of salt. In Leviticus, that wonderful book that I know we all look to very often for inspiration, if you've ever read it, you know I'm speaking completely tongue-in-cheek. In Leviticus, sacrifices are to be seasoned with salt. And here's a verse written from one of those books that was written in between the time of the Old and New Testaments. Sometimes if you go and buy a study Bible, they'll have books that they say are part of the Apocrypha. They're books that were written in between the times of the Old and New Testaments. Here's something from the biblical book or the apocryphal book of Sirach. The basic necessities of human life are water and fire and iron and salt and wheat flour and milk and honey, the blood of the grape and oil and clothing. So what might it mean to have salt in ourselves, to be salty? Well, I think if we are to be salty as followers of Jesus, we need to know how to measure. Salt in the time of Jesus, as I've mentioned, was viewed positively. In a book called Salt, A World History, and yes, this is a real book, Salt, A World History, the author writes, from the beginning of civilization until about 100 years ago, salt was one of the most sought-after commodities in world history. Salt was an enormously valuable commodity in the time of the Roman Empire. Many of the major Roman cities were built near salt mines. Yet salt wasn't, even then, just an unambiguous good. People saw that too much salt resulted in a Dead Sea. Salt could be used to poison croplands and was sometimes used as an instrument of war. In the biblical book of Judges, after Abimelech won a battle, it said he raised the city and sowed it with salt. So if we're to be salty people, we need to know how to measure. That is, I think, we need to be wise and discerning. In the passage we read last week from the biblical book of James, we encountered these words: "Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom." Wisdom is more than knowing things, though seeking information and accurate knowledge matters. In our day and time, when information, false information, and half-truths circulate so rapidly, goes viral on the internet, it's good to be able to take some time and ask questions about information. But wisdom is more than paying attention to information. It's also paying attention to what is most important. In learning and growing and forming a life that is filled with goodness and gentleness, that's the way of wisdom. Worship, I think, slows us down to let wisdom form. Prayer slows our lives to give wisdom more opportunities to grow in us. Conversations together, what John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, called holy conferencing. Holy conferencing gives us time to listen to others, to learn from others, and learn together with others. To be salty, I think, means to know something about how to measure. It's to seek to be wise and discerning. To be salty is also about the work of preserving. Until the advent of modern refrigeration, salt was one of the primary ways food was preserved. I think of the words of the philosopher Alfred North Whitehead. "The art of progress," he wrote, "is to preserve order amid change and to preserve change amid order." And Whitehead argued that God's very nature was in part a tender care that nothing be lost, a tenderness which loses nothing that can be saved. We're to see the good and beautiful in the world and do our best to create more and to build on what we find there. That's true in our lives. See the good and beautiful in yourself. Build on it. Create more. It's true in our relationships with each other. See the good and the beautiful in other people. Help them build on it. Help them create more. It's true for our church. Let's see the good and beautiful in our midst. Some of that we have inherited from people who have gone before us. Having been pastor here now for over 10 years, there are times when I can look out and see places where people used to sit. Yeah, you all kind of sit in the same places most of the time. and remember some of those people who touched our lives with goodness and beauty. And we build on that. And we try to create more. And it applies to how we look at the world. We're pretty good at seeing all the awful things that happen in the world, the horror, the brutality comes at us blaring out of our radios or televisions or through the internet. But we're also invited to see what's good and beautiful and build on that and create more. And we're to do it together. Be at peace with one another, Jesus says. And to be salty is also about adding flavor to the world. You know, it's really too bad. I think Christians are often considered kind of bland folks in the wider culture, either really bland or mean hypocrites. That's mostly what you see in the broad culture about Christians. But Jesus invites us to be salty, to add a little bit of flavor to the world. As we grow in wisdom, we can share ideas with others. I really think Christians should be among the most thoughtful people in the world. And it's a really tragic thing that in part because of some of the ways those who call in the name of Christ act and talk, we're often considered among some of the most narrow people in the world. But we should be people who are considered among the most thoughtful. We're the ones who see the world in all of its beauty and splendor and glory and wonder and agony and horror and brutality. And we trust that God is continuing to work in the world in the midst of all of that, building on the beauty, inviting us to create more, inviting us to heal places where there has been hurt. One last Alfred North Whitehead quote. The task of reason, Whitehead once wrote, is to fathom the deeper depths of the many-sidedness of things. I think that's our Christian task, to fathom the deeper depths of the many-sidedness of things and then discern in the midst of that how to live more lovingly, more with more care, with more compassion, with grace, to create beauty and goodness, to let God's grace flow. And when we do that in our lives, and when we do that together, we add a lot of flavor to the world. We're salt for the world, and we do that with a joyful wisdom that exudes strength and gentleness. Salt is good and valuable. Throughout history, it has been one of the most treasured and valued commodities. So when Jesus is telling his followers, "You are salt," he's telling them, "You matter. You're valuable. You are valuable. You are part of God's ongoing work in the world. Stay salty. Let's stay salty together." Jesus said, "Whoever gives a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward." Giving a cup of water is a pretty small act. Mother Teresa is purported to have said, "Not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love." Mother Teresa probably didn't say that, although if you have a poster with Mother Teresa on it with that saying, don't get rid of it. The saying is still good. She might have said at some point, small things. Salt, when you come down to it, is pretty small stuff. Small acts of kindness and thoughtfulness and goodness and beauty are a part of staying salty. I think of the lay pastors of our congregation who go and visit other members. Just take some time for them. Small things done with great love that make a difference. Staying salty. I think of all of the small acts that come together to make up a worship service. Small things done with great love that make a difference. Staying salty. I think of all of the small things that go into that monthly Ruby's Pantry distribution, or now coming up our roast beef dinner. Small things done with great love that make a difference. Staying salty. This week, our parish nurse, Linda Wigg, who we know does a lot of small things here that touch people's lives with kindness and gentleness and caring, She's with a sister in Omaha because her sister has no one else to be with her, and she struggles with some health issues. Small things done with great love that make a difference. Staying salty. I think of the time we take to greet and welcome each other. We never know when we say good morning to somebody what's been happening in that person's life all week long. Maybe you're the first friendly face that person has encountered in the last 5-6 days. Maybe somebody's really struggling with something. Or maybe they've got some good news that they've just been waiting to share with somebody, and you get to be that person. We never know what those small acts of kindness might mean in the lives of others. Small things done with great love that make a difference. Staying salty. And I think of all of the countless small things we can do to reach out to other people who are different from us, to break down barriers, to be kind, to listen to people's stories, and how all of those small things over time can begin to erode hate and fear and prejudice. Small things done with great love that make a difference. It's staying salty. Salt is good. Salt is valuable. You are valuable. You matter. You're a part of God's ongoing work in the world. Let's keep at it together. Let's stay salty together and be at peace with one another. Amen.